Just thank the Lord for his goodness to us and ask the Lord to help us tonight in the preaching of his word. Father, I thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Can you call on him tonight? Can you let me hear you call on him tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Saturate us, Lord. Saturate us, Lord. Holy Ghost, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you open your heart? Can you open your heart to him right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, it won't hurt us to praise him just a little while. We're way overdue on our praise. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Just remain standing, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God. Oh, I need the Lord to help me tonight. I'm not in any way putting on or trying to pull for a sympathy amen tonight, but I need the Lord to help me. The Lord knows all about it. My mind is scattered and rattled and running just like a race car track tonight. And I need the Lord to just calm it all down and help me and send that anointing of the Holy Ghost that'll make the difference. It ain't in us, is it? It ain't. All of us, the best we can do, won't get the job done. If we all combined our efforts, it will not get the job done without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I'd like the Lord to just come by tonight. I feel like the Lord laid this on my heart. And I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I'm just going to try to get in here and obey the Lord tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Acts chapter 4, very familiar portions of Scripture. Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 13 down through verse number 22. If you got your Bible, Acts chapter 4, I will read down in verse number 13. We all know what's taking place in Acts 3. The lame man that laid at the temple gate was healed. And Acts 4 continues into that discourse. All the trouble that's caused because of the lame man being healed. In the name of Jesus. And so we're dropping right down into the middle of this story tonight, down in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness, speaking of the Jewish council, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man, speaking of the man that was crippled, which was healed, standing with them, speaking of Peter and John, they could say nothing against it. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confessed among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem." I want you to notice these words. "And we cannot deny it." We cannot deny it. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name," speaking of the name of Jesus. Ain't it amazing tonight how bent people get on having their own way? Ain't it amazing? These men got together and said, "We can't deny that God did a miracle here, but we don't want it to go any further." "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus." What a powerful name that they'd say, "Don't speak it or teach it, the name of Jesus." "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of the healing was shown. Let's ask the Lord to help us one more time. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I need you to help me tonight, Lord. God, you know all about it tonight. You know those things that I've asked you for today. I pray, Lord, that you would do them. Pray, Lord, that you would confirm your word tonight upon these altars. Help us, Jesus, and anoint us. Lord Jesus, stand by us tonight and be in our midst. Grace us with your presence. Let your favor smile upon us tonight and touch our hearts and draw us near unto you. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said amen. Thank you for standing for the reverence of the reading of the word of God. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with this tonight, but I'm going to hop in here and try to do something with it. I want you to look, for the sake of, we've got to have a title and a place to start. These men of this council, this Jewish council that didn't like what was going on, but they couldn't deny it. They didn't like it, but they couldn't deny that God was in it. They said this, we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. And so I want to preach tonight, the Lord will help me on some things cannot be denied. Some things cannot be denied. The early church, when we come to this, we were in the very earliest stage of the church. We all know that at Pentecost, this great body that we call the church today as we know it and as we call it, came on the scene of the world. And the early church was such a mighty church and such a powerful church, a church that fresh from Pentecost and fresh from the teachings of the Lord was absolutely a church that was making its mark in the world that it was living in. Ain't that what the church is supposed to do? Make a mark in the world that it's living in. A church that's not making a mark in its community and in its society is a church that is failing. Do y'all believe that today? Absolutely. A church must make its mark in its society. The church was making a mark there at Jerusalem. People were being saved by literally the thousands. People was being saved. And Jesus Christ was being proclaimed. Just prior to the message, just prior to this message, to this passage rather, Peter and John had been used of the Lord to heal a beggar who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. The Jews who were in the temple, when this occurred, they were absolutely amazed. They was astonished how that this miracle took place. And Peter takes this miracle and he takes the opportunity to share with them through this miracle the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hot in here, ain't it? I'm a little warm. Is everybody else warm? All right, one of them down. Okay, praise God. While he was preaching, can we press on past a little hotness? Be all right. Wouldn't it? The old saints had it out and under a tent, didn't they? Glory to God. It's still better than having it outside. While he was preaching, the Jewish leaders, they caught wind of what was happening. It got quickly from the people to the leaders of the Jewish community. And they heard what was going on down at the temple. And they showed up and they arrest Peter and John. Why did they arrest them? You would think that them men that had passed by that lame man every day that they went to their worship, they walked by that man that was laying there lame. And their reaction to him being healed was that they walked down there and they was not happy that he was healed. They was not happy that he was leaping and jumping and running and praising God in the street. No, sir. They were so infuriated and so aggravated and so upset that they arrested Peter and John for the healing of this lame man simply because they did it in the name of Jesus Christ.
They locked them in prison because they preached that Jesus Christ had rose from the dead. The very next day, these Jews convene in the council to talk about what to do with Peter and John. They're at a loss about what to do with these men because the multitude, the people, the leaders are upset with people and John. But the people, for the most part, are pretty pleased with what Peter and John has done. They're giving God the glory. They're glad to see that man common like them get up and walk. They was appreciative of the fact that he was healed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And so they get together and they begin to talk about what to do with Peter and John. They was upset. They was upset. And they called Peter and John before the council. I hope the Lord will help me tonight. They call them before the council. And again, I want you to get this tonight. Again, Peter and John doesn't focus on the miracle of the lame man. They focus on the message of Jesus Christ. They take the miracle of the lame man. That's what got the whole stir up. But they don't spend time talking about the miracle of the lame man. They take the opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the third chapter, they'll begin to tell people, why are you looking upon us as if by our own holiness or by our own power we made this man to walk? It's not in us. They told him, such as we have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now they admitted, we've got it, but it ain't of us. It was a gift that was given to us from another world. Hallelujah. They give God all the glory. These Jews become upset. These religious leaders become upset. They get so upset because of what they've seen and heard. They're upset. What are they upset about? What have they got to be upset about? You ever seen people that was mad and you really wonder what in the world they got to be mad about? I'm convinced some folks are mad just because they like being mad. Y'all believe that today? Some folks are just upset because they'd just rather be miserable as happy. They really would. They really would. They'd rather have pity. They'd rather have attention as to have the goodness of God and be happy about things. And that's kind of how they was. They was just upset. But really what they're upset about is that the name of Jesus was being preached. Now here's the whole thing. They was there when Jesus was nailed on the cross. They was there when they took him off the cross and said he's an imposter. They still preach it today that he was an imposter, that he was not the Son of God. But here's what troubled them, the fact that they had to admit that that man that hung on the cross, that man that bore the name of Jesus Christ, though they said he was an imposter, it was at the name of Jesus that this man was made whole. They absolutely had to face the fact that we seen Jesus die with our own eyes. We seen him laid in a tomb. But they could not deny the fact that there was still power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Help me tonight, Lord. They hated Peter and John and the message they preached. But here's the thing tonight. They could not deny the power of God that was being made manifest in their midst. And could I say to you tonight, am I doing okay tonight? Whew. We're living in an hour that is just as antagonistic toward the gospel of God as it is in our text. Yes, sir. The world looks at the church tonight and there's much they see that they don't understand. There's much they see that they don't like. They would love nothing more tonight than to silence the message that we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want us to become more like them and join their march toward hell tonight. But I tell you tonight, the church needs a fresh touch from heaven. How many people agree to that tonight? The church needs for the supernatural, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Help me tonight, Lord, to begin to operate amongst us again. We need for things to happen amongst us again that the world cannot explain, but they cannot deny. Hallelujah. The church in this hour, what we need more than anything else is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power. Hallelujah. The church needs to experience that which we cannot explain, but we are not able to deny. Whew. Help me right here a while, Lord, tonight. Oh, help me right here a while tonight, Lord. I need you to help me, God. Woo! Oh, stand by me, Lord Jesus, tonight. Stand by me, Lord Jesus, tonight. Oh, listen, saints of God. Listen, saints of God. What John Anderson said tonight, when he said that God is not holding back from us, is the truth. It is the truth of God's word. God's not holding back from us. God's simply waiting on us to come to him. People say we're waiting on a move of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is waiting for us to move toward him. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, in this hour, us Pentecostal holiness people need to experience the gifts and the power and the signs that follow them that believe again. Woo! Help me tonight, Lord. Oh, we need to experience that undeniable power of God. Listen, let me preach to you a while tonight. The Lord will help me. When the Jews questioned Peter and John, when they began to question them, there were some characteristics that could not be denied when it came to Peter and John. Listen to what the scripture says, the text says. Now when they saw the boldness, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. These Jewish leaders was the most educated people in Jerusalem. They was well-learned men. They were eloquent men. But when they looked at this man who was a fisherman, when they looked at this man who was just an ordinary citizen of society, he had never been to Bible school, if we could put it that way. He had never had any type of training. He had never, ever, ever had anybody ever teach him how to preach or speak or pulpit adequate or eloquent language. But oh God, they knew there was something different about these men. They said, these men are not speaking. They're not speaking like our scribes speak. They're not speaking like our priests speak. They're speaking with authority. Where had they heard that authority? They'd heard that voice of authority not long before Jesus hung on the cross, when they followed him into that garden and they arrested him, and those guards fell back and said, never a man spake like this man. And when Peter and John stood before him that day, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and the power of God empowered them, they said, they speak like Jesus spoke. When Peter and John spoke, they did so with boldness. Oh, we need a boldness in this hour. The word refers to unreserved speech. It's the ideal of someone speaking their mind without regard for what others think about it. Now listen, when this is done in the flesh, it's absolutely something that can cause great harm and infliction when somebody speaks their mind in the flesh, not caring what everybody else thinks. But listen, when that power of God that can't be denied comes upon a man, hallelujah, and he begins to speak as the oracles of God anointed of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you the truth tonight, God's business will be done and God's will be accomplished. I tell you, the church of God in this hour, we need a holy boldness that'll come upon us again that cannot be denied. You all out there tonight? Woo! Woo! Ah! Oh, I've been praying for a few days about this. I feel like some of us need to get a boldness about us. Woo! Y'all ain't gonna fall out and back up here on me, are you? I'd like when somebody got in the prayer line here at the altar call tonight and five or six brothers and sisters would get a holy boldness about them and lay hands on them and believe that the name of Jesus that we're going to see the supernatural again. Woo! You ain't going to get it if you don't believe it. You ain't going to get it if you don't ask for it. You ain't going to get it by being timid and shy and wondering if God's going to do it. What we need is a faith that'll get bold. What we need is a holy anointing that'll come upon us and say it's for us in this hour. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Help me preach a little while, Lord. My God in heaven. My God in heaven. Do you realize who is talking in this text? Do you realize who is talking in this text? The Apostle Peter. Just a few days earlier, he had been down there. And probably some of these same men had overheard him even deny that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! But they said, I can't deny. There can't deny. There's been a change in that man. A few days ago, he was a coward. A little old maid backed him up in a corner and made him deny that Jesus Christ, that he even knew him. But today, the whole Jewish council, with the threat of locking him up in prison, can't back him up. They can't back him down. Somebody said, what in the world has happened? And somebody said, I'll tell you what happened. They've been with Jesus. Tell you what this world needs. They need a church that's filled with Jesus again. Well. Well, how do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What do you believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is?
That's right.
Woo!
Glory to God.
But ye shall be endued with power from on high and be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. I tell you what, the real Holy Ghost will make us act like Jesus. It'll make us talk like Jesus. And the same miracles that happen at the hands of Jesus will happen at the hands of them that believe. Praise God. Praise God. You all say amen? Amen. Woo! Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Then what did Jesus mean when he said, the works that I do, you'll do greater works? You can't do greater works than Jesus did. Well, I think what he's talking about is numbers. Woo! Woo! How many people think the world need to see a church that's been with Jesus and the supernatural power of God being manifest in our midst? Well, I'm giving it my all tonight, are you? Nope. Praise God. Praise God. Whoo. Whoo. These Jews find themselves in a dilemma, Brother Claybrewer. They're in a pickle. If I can say it all right. Is it okay to say it in the pulpit? In a pickle, man. They're in a dilemma. They're in a between a rock and a hard place. On one hand, they've got these disciples that's got the power of God upon them that they can't deny. On the other hand, they've got a man who's been healed. And nobody doubts it. Even the resurrection of Jesus Christ, folks tried to explain it and denied. But God let that man be crippled for 40 years. I don't know how many years he laid at that gate, but he laid there long enough that pretty much everybody of age on up to the old people knew who he was. And they wouldn't, nobody, even the doubters wouldn't deny that is him that laid by the temple gate. Whew. Woo! Stand by me, Lord Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, many of a time they'd went up to the temple, made their way in the temple. They'd probably ignored him. They'd probably refused to give him any alms or help. Now he's standing there in their presence. He's not a crippled anymore. No, sir, he's not a cripple anymore. He's not laying by the gate. No, sir, he's leaping. He's praising. He's singing the praises of God. He's going around telling people, by the name of Jesus, them followers of Jesus spoke to me, and I got up, and for the first time in 40 years, I walked under my own power. Them men had to shake their heads and say, we may not understand it. We may not agree with it. We may not believe it like they believe it. We don't actually see eye to eye with them, but we can't deny that there's a power of God among them that absolutely has the ability to transform lives. Amen. Amen. Can you all say amen tonight? Amen. Woo! Most people went to the temple to worship, but not this man. It's the first time he'd ever went to the temple to worship. He always went to the temple and sat outside to beg while everybody else went to worship. While everybody else went with hearts singing and praising God on their lips, he sat outside in depression and despair, hoping that some person would have enough of God on him to give him enough to get him something to eat that evening and get him through and get him by. He was where he was because he was counting on the generosity of God's good people. But while he was there, He got a lot more than he bargained for that day. He was healed, absolutely healed. He doesn't know a lot about God, but you'll find him praising God. That's a change that cannot be denied. Woo! Am I preaching too long tonight? Is this all right? Praise God. Oh, there's people outside the doors of his church tonight that remember when you used to lay by the temple gate begging. But when they seen you get up tonight and put your church clothes on and get in the car and get in the parking lot and walk up the steps, and the last time they seen you, you wasn't on the outside. They seen the door shut behind you and they said you was on the inside. And they said, that's a change. That's a change. That's a change. I remember when he used to go to the bar on Friday night. Now he's down at revival meeting. That's a change that you can't deny. Hallelujah. I remember how he used to talk on the job, but now he talks about the goodness of God and the things of God. That's a change. Hallelujah. I remember how they used to live, but now they're living for God. That's a change that cannot be denied. I tell you what, we're in need of in this hour. We're in need of a power of God that'll come upon us in the church and make a change in us that the world cannot deny. Oh, Lord. Lord, stand by me and help me tonight. I wish I could preach better to you. Whew. Everything that took place that day centered around a message, Brother Claybrewer. That boldness, that healing, that miracle, it all centered around a message. That nobody there that day left with the ability to deny that that message was true and that message was right. All these things were for the glory of God. All these things that happened, the boldness that came upon Peter and John, the miracle. Is this all right tonight? Man, oh man. The miracle, this lame man, all of it was great and wonderful. But God got the most glory out of the gospel message that was preached that day that could not be denied. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo! You mean the preaching of Jesus Christ that day brought more glory to God than a lame man being healed? Than a lady by that gate? That's exactly what I mean. This message was the highlight of the entire event. Peter lets the Jews know that it is a message that he must preach. He says, I must preach it. I can't keep from preaching it. The miracle is precious, but everything hinges on the message. The miracle is wonderful, but everything hinges on this message of Jesus Christ. Peter wants these men to know that it's a true message, that it's a message that cannot help but be preached. Can y'all stand just a few more minutes tonight? Man, oh man, I feel like you ain't with me tonight. The message they preached that day is the same message I'm preaching to you tonight in this service. It's a life-changing message. It's a message that absolutely has the power of God in it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. The message we preach is the message that will change our lives. It's a message of death. It's a message of crucifixion. The message we preach is of a Savior who loved us so much that He took our place on a cross. He died for us to pay for our sins so that we might be saved. I praise God tonight that He loves me like He does. His love is eternal. His love is unconditional. His love is selfless. His love is glorious. I praise God tonight for the message that Jesus loves me. I couldn't stir some of you with a stick of dynamite. Hallelujah. My God in heaven, if the message that Jesus Christ loves you don't stir you, you can't be stirred. My God, if you can't run around the church because Jesus loves you, then you just won't never run around the church. Woo! The message they preached was about a Savior, Brother Clay, yes, who died for the lost. But it was also about a Savior who rose again 3 days later. Yeah. It's a message about sacrifice, but it's a message about success. Yes, Jesus entered death to save His people from their sins, but He rose again on the third day to provide eternal life for all who will receive Him. I praise the Lord that He died for me. But I also praise Him tonight that He rose again and is alive forevermore at the right hand of God the Father. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? We Pentecostals have lost the message. We've lost the message. And when we lost the message, we lost the miracle. If we want to see the miracle again, we've got to proclaim the message. The miracle is in the message. You want to see the lame man healed? Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want to see a drug addict delivered? Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I tell you what, I hate getting fat. I'm hurting so bad I can't hardly preach. It ain't the devil, it's fatness is what it is. It's a curse. My God. Peter and John told the Jews that it was this message and the Savior behind the message that was responsible for the changed man that they seen before them. The message of the gospel brought help and hope to a life ruined by the blight of sin. The message of the gospel brought the riches of Christ to a man sentenced to a life of pain and poverty. The message of Jesus Christ they preach forever changed his life today. And I tell you tonight, it's the same message I'm preaching to you tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ still has the power to save sinners. It still has the power to open blinded eyes. It still has the power to straighten the limbs of the withered. It still has the power to deliver those held captive by sin. It still has the power to resurrect the dead back to life. It still is the power of God unto salvation. Ha 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 ha. I'm going to say some things tonight, and I don't know how you'll take them. I'm afraid you'll read them wrong, and tomorrow will be a bad day like a lot of Mondays, where I get jumped onto. But I'm fixing to let her fly. Brethren, we're losing our Pentecostal holiness heritage. For the most part, we pretty much hold the standards that we've always held. We pretty much look the way we've always looked. Look around tonight. But I tell you what we're losing. We're losing the gifts of the Holy Ghost and the miracle working power of God in our midst. Whew. I've been a praying, God, where's it at? And God spoke to me and said, the miracle is still in the message. It's still in the message. It's still in the message. Dare to believe it. Dare to believe it. Dare to believe. Dare to believe. I tell you, I believe with every fiber of my being tonight that the same Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ, the same Holy Ghost that was on Peter and John can fall on us in this place tonight. The same holy boldness that came upon them can come upon us. The same Holy Ghost that endued them with power from on high and helped them to do things that they could not do on their own can come on us in this place tonight. Is there a lame man here tonight? Is there a lame man in this house tonight? We're not just talking about physical. We're talking about crippled in your spirit. Our brother spoke to so good to us this morning about bitterness. And maybe that's your crippling disease tonight. I don't know tonight what's got you outside the temple. But it ain't God's will for you to live outside the temple. God didn't call you to be a beggar. God called you to be a worshiper. And there's still a name. Oh, there's still power in the name of Jesus Christ that can take a man from the outside of the temple and bring him on the inside. Take him from not having any power in himself to under his own strength, running, leaping, and praising God. I feel like tonight, you may not get it. We may leave this place and not grasp it. But I feel on my heart tonight, there's a beggar in this house tonight. And I believe that Jesus Christ wants to make you whole. Do you believe it?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe it? You believe it? I ain't a prophet. I'm the farthest thing. I ain't even a good preacher. I tell God nearly every day, I ain't even a good preacher, let alone a prophet. And I'm going to tell you what God laid on my heart this evening. I'm telling you, there's a beggar in this house, and God's going to stand you back up on your feet. You're about to get back on your feet. It ain't in my power. It ain't in the power of this board. It ain't in the power of this church. It's in the power of the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, it ain't in this preacher tonight, but if you'll come up here, I'll try my best to help you get to where Jesus is. I'll try my best to get a hold of you and do everything I can and exercise my faith and open my heart and try with everything in me to get you to where Jesus is. And if we can get you to where Jesus is, you won't have to go back and resume your position as being a beggar outside the temple, but you can leave here tonight. You can leave here tonight. I came a beggar, but I left a worshiper. I've been asking God 2 days for the supernatural. I've been asking God 2 days for the supernatural. I'm telling you tonight, there's a miracle in the message. There's a miracle in the message. There's a miracle in the message. You don't need me. You don't need nobody else. You need to believe and call on the name of Jesus. I want every believer that's got the Holy Ghost, raise your hands toward heaven right now. Woo! Believe God. 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 Believe God tonight. Ask God for it. Got a need in your life? Ask Him right now. You want the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Ask Him right now. We need the gifts of tongues and interpretation as church. Somebody ask Him. God, put it on me. God, entrust me with the gift. God, entrust me with it. I'm telling you, there ain't no reason why we can't have what the apostles have. We're preaching the same message that they preach. We're believing the same Jesus that they believed. Come on, saints of God. Come on, saints of God. Come on, saints of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's asking us, move in my direction. Move in my direction. Move in my direction. Move toward me. Move toward me. If you'll move toward me, I'll move toward you. If you'll move toward me, I'll move toward you. If you'll move toward me, I'll move toward you. Woo. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe Him tonight for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Believe Him tonight for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Believe Him for the healing of your body tonight. Believe Him for the peace of your mind tonight. Believe Him for the victory in your life tonight. Believe Him tonight to deliver you from that curse of sin that's got you held in under. My God in heaven, every believer in this house tonight. Every believer in this house tonight. Every believer in this house tonight. It's in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. God, let the gifts operate in this house tonight. Brand me whatever you want to brand me tonight. I say let the gifts of the Holy Ghost operate in this place tonight. Let the gifts of the Holy Ghost operate in this place tonight. Oh God, let somebody come out of here with some of the gifts of the Holy Ghost out of this service here tonight. God, let supernatural power be manifested in this place tonight. God, let somebody's body be healed in this service tonight. Let some discouraged saint leave here tonight on their feet rejoicing. Let somebody leave with the victory of God in their heart tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God, endue us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo. My God, keep it decent in order. Keep it decent in order. But if you feel like laying hands on somebody, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord tonight. Keep it decent and in order. But if you feel like laying your hand on somebody, lay your hand on them. Lay your hand on them. Let the gifts of God operate in this place tonight. Let the gifts of the Holy Ghost operate. Be a vessel that God can use tonight to bring a blessing to somebody else.